Well, good morning, everyone. This is a special feast. As you know, back in June and July, we didn't even know if the states or the cities where we were going to have our feast would even allow us to even get together. So, like Mr. Hall was mentioning there about the miracles of God, yes, he made it possible. This is a very, very special feast for us as well here. And I was going to try this to see if I can do it. My wife was coaching me. And then, you see, there. I'll have to practice that. I want to give a little introduction before I get into the sermon here about the sermon here. In the United Church of God and being in the ministry of Jesus Christ, it is our commission to continue the ministry of Jesus. It is what he was doing is preparing a people to be ready to live in the kingdom of God. And that's what we must continue doing in the ministry is preparing a people, continuing the job that he came here to do. It was God's plan to send his only begotten son to this earth, to be born through a woman, and to bring the good news of God's coming kingdom, and to be the ultimate pure sacrifice to redeem us to God the Father. And so we are so very, very thankful of that. Title of today's sermon is The Lifestyle of Those Who Intend to Live in God's Kingdom. And let's put the emphasis on those who intend. All of us, that's why we're here. We are intending to be prepared and to be ready to be changed at the return of Jesus Christ, to go into God's coming kingdom and live forever. To set the stage, in Matthew chapters 3 and 4, as Christ's forerunner was John the Baptist, he preached repentance, water baptism, and the coming kingdom of God to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Now let's speed forward a little bit here. And after the news of the arrest of John the Baptist, Jesus traveled north to make his lakeside town, Capernaum, as his base. Capernaum, which is on the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee, which is really a lake that is fed by the Jordan River that flows through it. This is where Jesus made his base, and this is where he calls his first 12 disciples and begins his public ministry. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, is where Jesus begins with a very commanding voice, and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, for those people back then that were living back then, it was at hand for them. We're hearing the same message today, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand for me and you. This is our lifetime. This is the time and the era that God made us to live and to hear it as well, too. We are called to know this message. And his message spread very quickly, and huge crowds came to hear him from Galilee and from Syria and from Decapolis and from as far away to the south as Jerusalem, Judea, and also to the east of the Jordan River. All of these people traveled and came very long distances to hear about the kingdom of heaven. But instead of actually getting into the kingdom of heaven, Jesus talked about a lifestyle for those who intend to live in the kingdom. Jesus said they would have to change their thought patterns, their habits, their lifestyle to live in the kingdom of heaven. And now we move to chapter 5 of Matthew, and starts off in verse 1 there, where Jesus sat down on a hillside, or on a mountain, as the Bible describes it. And there were maybe thousands of people who wanted to hear him. They wanted to hear what this man had to say. And Jesus began to explain what it means to repent and their involvement in turning from their sins. Had to be a change going on. just like we are taught with us. We all have the human nature traits and the habits that we grew up with. The environment of our families and where we went to school and all these other things contributed to it and caused us to have habits that are contrary to the way that God wants us to live. So there has to be a change made. Same way back then for those people as well too. They had to have involvement in turning from their sins. They had to learn, just like you and I. To truly repent means far more than an outward show of piety, and for sure, Jesus urged his listeners to make a complete change of heart and lifestyle. That was his message there on the Mount of Olives there, that they would learn to be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect, just as it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. That is what we need to strive for. And of course, all of these words are for me and you today. This is our lifetime that we are living in, which is very, very short for all of us. You can just blink your eyes and think, well, hey, I was in high school just a little bit ago, grade school and friends. I grew up in the Cincinnati area here. And over on the western side on a farm is where I was born and grew up. I still have classmates from the second grade that I go and see and keep in contact with. And it's a short life. It is a very short life for each and every one of us. But that we need to become perfect in our character just as our Father in heaven is. That's our goal. That each of us must have in our heart and in our mental thoughts, in our actions, we have to make a change. And why? Because this is our goal. This is our time. This is our time to be prepared, to be of the people of God that is going to be living in his kingdom. Because as long as we are alive in this flesh, we will not be completely perfect. We are temporary and we are vulnerable to all the pulls of the flesh yet. Because we sin daily and we must repent daily. We have to keep that in mind. We just can't think, well, you know, once saved, always saved idea or anything like that. When we have a sin to come through our mind, we need to repent instantly. Don't say, well, I'll just wait till tonight when I say my prayers before I go to bed. No. Right on the spot, we need to repent of our sins. Our temporary flesh will never be perfect, and God never meant it to be. Never meant it to be right now. We are in a time of our life that we are being trained, and we are being tested. We are being tested every day of our life. God wants to know if he can trust us enough to be changed to a spirit being that will live forever. He has to know that, and he reads our hearts. We will only become perfect when we are changed to spirit at the return of Jesus Christ. You know, for a lot of us, of course, we will be coming out of the graves. And there will be some, possibly, that will be alive at that time as well, too. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed from flesh to spirit. And the dead in Christ, of course, will rise first, and then those that are still alive will follow after that. But in the meantime, we must live and think as if we are living in the Spirit. We need to practice that. We need to get that as a habit into our hearts and our minds that we are already living in the Spirit, knowing that we're not, but we can repent of our sins when we foul up. And we do and we will. We find that it is more than likely that Jesus may have spoken his sermon that he spoke there on the Mount of Olives, found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 there, known as the Sermon on the Mount. We find that he may have given that very important message more than just once. And why? Because he was describing the new lifestyle of those who intend to be living in the kingdom of God. That's why we're here. That's why we were called to know God's truth. That's why he gave us his holy days, which are stepping stones that lead us to the kingdom of God. That's why we are here today. We intend to be living in God's coming kingdom. But we have to make sure that we are prepared and ready and practice living the lifestyle that we need to be living, because he says there will be none that will offend in his kingdom. Jesus was holding up that lifestyle like a jewel with many facets to be examined from different angles. Also, that there are bits and pieces of his sermon that can be found throughout the Gospels. In being the good teacher, Jesus probably repeated much of his teachings at other times and places in order to drive home this very important message of change. Of change. We must have a different lifestyle. You know, we get beat up all the time by all of the things that are happening in our lives. We are watching TV and watching the news, and Satan is interjecting all of his broadcast, and it rubs off. We have to really check ourselves and make sure that we are on the right track. Make sure that we are staying focused in the change that we need to be doing. The Sermon on the Mount contains the core of Jesus' moral and ethical being, of him completely and God the Father. Their character is in harmony. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, in this section, known as the Beatitudes or blessings, they are blessings, and in them, he was teaching how to have true happiness that comes from looking at life from God's point of view, which is very often the reverse of what our human point of view is. We have been steeped in all of the culture things that are wrong. And as we go here, I will paraphrase the Beatitudes or blessings. What is an attitude? An attitude is a position of your mind. How do you interpret things? How do you look at things? How do you do things? It's a position of your mind is what your attitudes are. We have to make sure we have to check ourselves, make sure our attitudes of mind are right. And the sermon opens up in chapter 5 in verses 1 and 2 with these blessings that they show us, the ideal citizen of the kingdom. Now we can learn how to be the ideal citizen in God's kingdom through the Beatitudes. And also, of course, you know, in Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit. We can practice living in the Spirit right now. And as we will see, these qualities that are described are the opposite of the way of the world thinks and the values that they put on things. And here is the first one that is in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the attitude, one of the attitudes that we must have. We must be poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit means to choose to be humble before God and acknowledge your own weakness and helplessness and completely rely on God's awesome power. It shows that we actually believe that God is God, that we trust him to lead us and guide us, that from his light, we will be able to see what we need to be seeing. And in verse 4, it says, those who mourn are blessed. These are people that have real feelings for others. And it's not just lip service. It's not just, you know, putting a smile on your face and walking by somebody, you know, saying good to see you, how you doing, and not really mean it. We're talking of people that have real feelings for others, not just lip service and not just acting like it or pretending to be pious before everyone else. We can't fool God. He is looking at our heart, and he has to make sure that he can trust us enough to be changed to a spirit being. For the day of comfort awaits them. This does not refer to mourning because of sudden changes in our life. Things happen to all of us every day. There's all kinds of changes and things that happen. But as Christians, we mourn with Christ because of our close relationship with our Savior that we must have. We must pray constantly to have that close relationship with God and asking Him for His leadership in everything that we think, say, and do. And we are learning to really think as God the Father in Jesus Christ. That is the lessons that we need to be learning daily. Again, we are learning and we will be tested. God wants to see how we're doing. We mourn as they do, as God the Father and Jesus Christ do. They mourn. It is an active sharing of the sorrow that they feel. For the world's hurt due to sin, breaking God's law, they mourn for all of the awful things that are going on in this world right now. I often said to my wife, you know, it's really hard to think that God would have a reason to even bless our country with all of the abortions and all of the horrible sins that are going on in just our country alone. But for the elect's sake, God is being merciful to all of us. And we pray that He will continue to do that. We can trust Him. He will protect us. We are people that He has sanctified, has set apart. We are called people. We are not of the world. And we have to stop thinking that we are. This not only includes having sorrow for our own sin, but the sorrow of the world's appalling sinful condition all around the world, caused by the rejection of our Savior and what He had to do in being the sacrifice to pay the price for all the sins of all humanity. Can you imagine that? How wonderful it is if everybody could know that and actually believe it. Believe us in John chapter 17 is that, you know, let them be one. Let them know why God the Father sent Jesus Christ here to pay the price for all of our sins. Jesus took our place in the death penalty. The bottom line is those who share and mourn with Jesus shall be comforted. Next in verse 5, the meek shall inherit the earth. By our human nature, we all can be very temperamental, self-centered. You can ask my wife about that. she has to calm me down every now and then. Lose my temper on different things. But by thinking and living in the Spirit of Christ, we can become meek and gentle. Many years ago, back in the 60s, I heard Mr. Herbert Armstrong refer to being meek. Out of Pasadena, in the girls' gym, we used to hold Sabbath services there. And Mr. Armstrong would refer to being meek as being tamed. And he said, you know, it's like you would tame a horse. Which way that you want the horse to go, you can teach a horse habits that they will follow what the writer says. And God is preparing us to live with Him and is taming us. We are being tamed to obey and to follow what He wants us to do and what He wants us to say. I mentioned earlier that I'm from Cincinnati. And I remember back in the late, I guess it was the late 60s, maybe the early 70s in Spokesman Club here in Cincinnati. Mr. Ed Smith was our pastor and our director of the Spokesman Club. I know several of you in the congregation here remember that. And we had a man in our Spokesman Club named Mr. Emmett Wayne. I believe his son is a member in the Cincinnati North Church, I believe. I'm not for sure. And Mr. Emmett Wayne now, I understand, has passed on. He is dead. But Mr. Wayne in Spokesman Club described what he did for an occupation that I thought was very, very interesting. He worked for the city of Cincinnati Police Department, not as a policeman, But as what he was, he trained wild horses. He tamed them to where a rider, an officer, could ride that horse down through traffic, through gunfire, through all sorts of noise and things, and that horse would obey the rider and not get nervous and run off or whatever. But Mr. Emmett Wayne, he was a little short guy, but he spoke with a loud, commanding voice all the time. That's like in a hall this big, if he was speaking, you could hear him without a microphone with no problem at all. But he could speak to those horses, and they would get tamed by him. He had a knack of doing that. But meekness implies that we accept our lowly, weak position. Most everyone thinks way too highly of themselves. But a meek person is gentle and mild, and his or her lowly cause, weak cause, you'll be able to see that. But on the other hand, he or she may be a lion in God's cause in defending others. Defending others, they may be meek and mild, but when it comes to defending others in something that pertains to God, they are ready to be a lion. The meek do not right now inherit the earth. We know that. But we are inheriting abuse. We catch abuse from many different directions. Just living in this society is abuse. And especially now with this COVID virus that is encircling the entire earth, that is on everybody's mind. Was watching the news this morning, as a matter of fact. They were talking about the people that have gone into depression about that. That was even mentioned in the sermonette there. And for those who are learning to be meek in this life, will inherit the earth. Jesus Christ, of course, is coming, and so will God the Father eventually to here to live with us here on earth. When our Savior Christ the King returns and reigns in that 1,000 years of peace, we will have real prosperity then. Prosperity and peace. What a sharp contrast that would be from what we are living in right now with all of the hatred and all the things that are going on. I know in the Nashville area, there is a rash of things going on by young people. Even in broad daylight, They will come into a gas station. There will be like 5 or 6 of them in a car. They will jump out, and while people are pumping gas, they will hijack the car, take the cell phones and the money, and off with the car they go. And that is going on, I understand, even in Cincinnati area here as well, too. There are all kinds of horrible things that are going on, but that 1,000 years of peace and prosperity, what a contrast that is going to be. We want to make sure that we are prepared for that. Christ is in charge, and he wants us to be humble enough and have that willing heart enough to be tamed, to follow his lead. Trust in him. Believe what he came here for, and know that we can depend on him to see us through. Next in verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. These people have a passion for righteousness. It's not just a frivolous thing that you read about and hope for. This is something that you have to take action and be a part of. They have a passion for righteousness in their own lives. They long to see honesty, integrity, and justice. We have very little of that in this world that we're living in right now. But we need to seek holiness and the spiritual food of Jesus Christ daily in our lives. We do need to take the time. Every morning, my wife Pat and I, we are early risers. Of course, we go to bed early as well, too. But we are early risers way before the sun comes up. And that is probably the best time for us, before our minds get all cluttered up with what's going on in the world, to do our Bible study. We have to be spiritually fed by God's spiritual food. And a lot of us can lack that. We miss it if the phone would ring and would shortchange us a little bit. But God's spiritual food needs to be taken in constantly. And we need to receive that from Christ and also from His church. We need to make sure that we are attending services as we should and listening earnestly to the sermons that are prepared for us. Our ministers go through a lot of work and research to do their best and through a lot of prayers to bring us the sermons that they bring us. And we need to take advantage of that spiritual food. Use it and put it in your lives and really mean it. And we are called to serve one another. Be ready to help and comfort one another. If someone is having a spiritual problem or a physical problem, be ready to serve one another. These are people that hunger for and must be fed on Christ from the very Word of God. These people will be abundantly satisfied in Christ coming, in Christ coming kingdom that He is going to bring with Him. And they will have the character of God. If, that little preposition if jumps in the way, if they continue to hunger and thirst. We have to hunger and thirst and have a big appetite for the Word of God. Make sure that we do that. And now in verse 7, the merciful are blessed, for they shall obtain mercy. To be merciful means to be actively merciful to everyone. In other words, it means to help others in need who cannot help themselves. God desires that we have mercy every day, which is needed for real Christian living. I know Mr. Hall was talking there about serving one another and helping one another and real Christian living. Yes, that's what we need to practice daily, constantly. That should be in our hearts and our minds at all times. We are learning to change the bad habits that we have grown up with and also in our human nature to the kind of habits that is going to change things and to be a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And if we choose not to be merciful, we will not receive mercy when we need it. I think we have all been in that position where we need mercy. If not, you will. We are learning and we are being tested again over and over. We are learning and being tested. We are being prepared to be in God's coming kingdom. And now in verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Can you imagine that? You know, I've had this in a few of my sermons lately over in the Jackson, Tennessee area over there. We have some people over there that are very sickly. I've performed several funerals over there because we have an older group over there. But we were talking about, you know, the place of safety one day. And I mentioned, well, you know, I honestly believe that the real true place of safety for a true Christian is to just go to bed one night and your next waking moment would be seeing Jesus Christ, God the Father. That is the real place of safety. We had a lady in our Nashville church, Mr. Ficori, one of our elders down there, his wife, he went to bed ahead of her. And she was in her leather easy chair in the living room reading something, whatever it was. And in the middle of the night, he woke up and she wasn't over there on the other side of the bed. Went in and she had died there in a chair. No real reason, just died. What a blessing. What a way to go. That's a whole lot better than going into a hospital and having all kinds of tubes attached to you and all kinds of painful things going on with cancers and all sorts of things like that. But That would be the real place of safety. I performed her funeral. What a blessing it was for her family that she didn't have to suffer. Mr. Fakuri himself right now is in an assisted living nursing home, so to speak. He hasn't been able to go outside or leave his apartment since March. I call him a couple of times a week and talk with him. And, you know, he is hungering and thirsting to see God's people and to hear God's word live. We all need to realize that and pray for those people that are in that need. A person with a pure heart is one whose thoughts are holy, whose conscience is clean. To have a clean conscience means that you have been repenting daily. To have a clear, clean conscience and asking God for forgiveness. A person who is always repenting and choosing to turn from their sins that comes in their mind, for they shall see God in the person of Jesus Christ. When he comes again, they shall see God the Father for all eternity. God wants us now to have a willing heart, to have a pure heart, so that we can live forever with him. A willing heart. God calls us. And then he keeps an eye on us to see if we have a willing heart to want to seek more of what God is all about and what God has to offer. God looks for willing hearts. And he wants us to have a willing heart throughout our life. And he wants us to work on having a pure heart for all of our life. And in verse 9, it says that, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. What a wonderful title to be called one of sons of God or daughter of God. In Romans, that is in chapter 12, verse 18, it tells us that God has set the members of each one of us in the body just as he pleased. Our calling is not a mistake. And we didn't choose God. God chose us. He has called us. He has sanctified us. He has set us apart for training, to be prepared to be in his coming kingdom. And he put us into the church just where he wants us to be. We are all eventually going to be teachers. When we get into the so-called world tomorrow in the millennium, and also during the great white throne judgment, we're going to have big jobs teaching. Each and every one of us will. Because God, through his Holy Spirit living in us, we will have all that we need and all the power we need to do the job that he has planned for us. It's not just by chance that we have been called. We have been chosen. We are chosen people. Notice that Jesus is not speaking about people with a peaceful disposition or those who love peace. He is referring to those who actively intervene to make peace. He wants us to be active in what he is teaching us. He wants us to be peacemakers with everyone, regardless of who they are. The human nature approach is to just watch strife and trouble happen from the sidelines, like watching a train wreck, and just doing nothing about it. But you may see somebody, you know, that is in an argument with their wife or somebody else. That's kind of a tough thing to get into, but sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we have to intervene and say, hey, you know, there's a better way. You don't need to be arguing like this. Life is short. Things are going to get better, no matter what the circumstance is. We need to make things happen by us being active and not just being on the sidelines. The godly approach is to take a positive action toward creating peace, even if it means us taking abuse ourselves. We need to take a positive action. You know, people will see God's light through us if we allow it to happen. And others will see that. And if we say, hey, you know, it's not a good idea to argue. It's not a good idea to do this or do that. And they will know by seeing us that we are different. And we are. Some even call us a peculiar people. I remember Mr. Armstrong talking about us being peculiar people. He was so right in thinking of it in that circumstance, in that light. Remember, peacemakers are called sons of God. That's the title that we want to hold on to and keep. That's what we want. And now in verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is promised to those who suffer for doing right. The world is opposed to us in the way that we think and the way that they think. They want us to be a part of them, which we don't want to do. And so we will suffer for doing right things, probably very often. People of the world hate righteous life. And why do they hate righteous life? Because it exposes their unrighteousness. And all the things that they are doing wrong in life, a lot of people get caught up in doing horrible things and they hold on to them. They hold on to them throughout their life. It's kind of like their reputation that they talk about. You know, I have this reputation I must maintain of being the tough guy or whatever it is, or being the best drunk in town or the happiest drunk in town or whatever that they are using to measure themselves. The final beatitude seems to be a repeat of the last one. But as we will see, there is one difference. In the last one, the subject was persecution because of righteousness. And here, in the last one, it is persecution for Christ's sake. Jesus knew that his disciples would be mistreated because of their association and their loyalty to him. He knew that. Because the rest of the world wants to hold on to their sinful lives and their own reputation of thinking that they are somebody amongst their group. And in verse 12 it says, to suffer for Christ's sake is a privilege. Yes, we must suffer with Christ. And it is counted as a privilege. That should cause joy in our hearts when that happens. And a great reward awaits those who do so. The Beatitudes give us a picture of the ideal citizen who will be in Christ's kingdom. Notice the emphasis on righteousness and peace and joy. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14. Let's read verses 16 through 19. Therefore, do not let good be spoken of as evil. Don't let that happen. Hang on to it. Show others that doing God's will and following God's lead is not going to be counted as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ, these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Verse 19, therefore, let us pursue the things that make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Is it all about self, where you put self first, all about you? Or are you practicing putting others first in your life? I know it's kind of hard to do sometimes when you're being pushed from behind while you're in traffic. To stop and let a person out of a driveway. In fact, people will honk their horns at you. But, yeah, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that. do what is right and what is going to edify and help someone else. Give somebody else, you know, a little pat on the back sometimes. Yes, I saw you help this person over here. I saw what you did here, and I heard what you said about this. And give them the edification that you are listening, that you are concerned, that you are concerned about them. This is where Jesus turns ordinary human ideas about happiness upside down. And contrary to a general opinion, it is not the self-go-getters, the ones who think they are smart enough to bend the rules over others and think they are the real successful ones in life. They kind of look at themselves, they will, hey, you know, I'm ahead of the pack here. Well, in these verses, Jesus showed them the real way to true happiness by telling them that they must change their complete lifestyle to have happiness now and to be prepared to be in God's coming kingdom. We need to help each other remember that. We don't want somebody to get laxed in their daily living without getting spiritually fed by God's true word. We want to bolster others and check in on others and make sure that they are practicing the lifestyle that they need to be in God's coming kingdom. Those who know true happiness and peace in their lives are those who recognize the spiritual poverty and self-reliance and learn to depend completely on God, and then everything else in life will follow living in that life. If you are depending on God, God gives the blessings. He likes to reward us. That's why I'm very concerned about this entire country. It's hard to look around and think, well, I don't see very many reasons why God wants to give us blessings. It's like with your own children. If your own children disobey you, you wouldn't go out and buy them a new bicycle. You would have to correct them in some way. I have very sad thoughts about our own country. There's going to have to be a reckoning, and it could be this year. This COVID virus could be part of it. Who knows? The people who can be certain of having a future of real happiness are those who are humble before God, those who really come to the realization of just how fragile and weak we really are. We are far more weak than what we think we are. We are not very smart in many ways. We are only smart because God is calling us and teaching us. And we must respond to it. Have that willing heart to hold on to the teaching that God is giving us. And those who are willing to forgive others. Now that's hard to do for a lot of people, to forgive others and to even mention it, to even bring it up. Those who set their hearts on what is right, who try to heal disagreements. We don't want to have any disagreements to last until after the sun goes down in the evening. We want to make sure that we have a clear conscience and to make things right with everyone we come in contact with. They are the ones who put the seasoning into life, who stop the rottenness that is all around us. We are to be those who light the way by what we do and what we say and how we react and how we think and how we live our lives to show others all around us. We must light the way for them to say, hey, these people are different. They get along with everybody. They are willing to help. They are different. I might want to try that. We must be the ones who light the way and show others how to reflect the lifestyle of God Himself. Well, in closing, we find that when Jesus spoke His well-known Sermon on the Mount, He was describing and teaching a different lifestyle than what we see in the world and how we should be living now with the right attitudes. With the right attitudes are the, as the Beatitudes, the blessings that we just went over. That's just part of it. Also in Galatians chapter 5, we find the fruits of the Spirit show us the character of God, who we have to reflect and be like. Jesus Christ is our example. We can read how he chose to handle things and do things. We need to reflect him. These are what bring real blessings to us right now in this life. God wants to bless us. He loves to bless us. And the kind of living that it takes to be in his kingdom, he wants us to practice that every day. When Jesus was finished speaking, in Matthew it says that the people were overwhelmed with what they heard. They had come to hear a new teacher. And Jesus, he exceeded their expectations with what he told them. He wasn't talking directly about the kingdom of God, which is what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear all the joyful things that they were thinking about that it was going to be like. And he exceeded their expectations. His voice had an unusual ring of authority. And no wonder it had that unusual ring of authority. They were listening to the king himself. Let's make sure that we all read the Beatitudes and the fruits of the Spirit and work on our attitudes, ourself. Learn how to reflect God's character and the example of Jesus Christ and receive the blessings now and the protection now. We all need that protection. We need God's blessings. Let's all be prepared. Just as the United Church of God, that's one of our mottos. We are preparing a people for God's coming kingdom. Let's make sure we keep that in mind and let's practice and eat God's spiritual food. Good to see y'all.